today on Real Radio.
Do you want God to forgive you of what you've done? Yes. God says, awesome, I want to forgive you too, and I've got abundant forgiveness for you. And this is how you get it. You repent of what you've done. See, there's no forgiveness given by God to the person who does not repent of the sin.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What the Future Holds for the World, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for being with us today. Isaiah must have felt really great joy for the prophecies that God gave him on the restoration of his beloved Jerusalem. The Lord's kindness and mercy towards his people, and towards all of mankind for that matter, is undeserved good news. But the restoration of Jerusalem has an even greater fulfillment that's yet to come when Jesus Christ returns to earth in the second coming. In Isaiah chapter 53, we learn that God created us, and in that way, we belong to Him, because in our fallen nature, we need a Savior. That's why Jesus came down to earth. He took our sins and was beaten almost to the point of death to carry them to the cross. Jesus paid the ultimate price for our salvation. Only unbelief can separate us from Him now. So today on day 2 of chapter 54, Pastor Jack tells us that the future will be under God's form of justice. This means hope for the nations of that day, and those who choose Christ as their Savior will live in peace. Right now, God really is on the move. Things are stirring up around the world, but everything that happens is under God's watchful eye. He has always been and will always be in control. And now continuing his lesson called What the Future Holds for the World, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So listen, God's heart has been broken by the nation of Israel. I wonder how many times that I've broken God's heart. But at the same time, when we do not follow the Lord, Israel's heart is broken because she puts her love in things that wind up cannot return love. And isn't that true about any of us? Listen, I know none of you would have ever done this, or you're even in the situation of doing it now, but there are some people who backslide and tamper with the world and kind of wander back into the world, and they wind up getting hurt terribly. A backslidden believer, what happens to them? Well, by God's grace, they wind up running back to the Lord, and He receives them. Now, in some way, shape, and form, I am referring to every one of us as Christians. You know, you can look as stellar as a believer externally and impress everybody, but you know your heart can be so far from God, and you can be very backslidden from the Lord. Does He occupy your thinking? Listen, the decisions that you make during the day, do you have a close enough relationship with Him that He actually is invited in on a continuous basis to filter your thoughts? Do you know what I'm talking about? Is the thought of Him ever before you, present in your mind? And as you do that, by the way, you're walking in the Spirit. This is walking in the jurisdiction of the Holy Spirit. And when we don't do that, we wind up calling our own shots. And listen, as humans, we love to call our own shots. It's what we do. I'll take it from here. I got that one. Oh, I know. I've done that before. Here's what we're going to do. And the danger about being a Christian is making decisions based upon past successes. We can begin to think, oh, I've done that before. I know how to do this, but things may be different this time around. And God is waiting to speak to us, and he wants us to pray, and He wants us to consult Him. But we can assume that we know what to do. This is very dangerous, because you can do the right thing with the wrong intention. And the wrong intention can be, I got it, God. You're running the universe. I know you're busy. I'll take it from here. Don't be like that. Stop doing that. And ask God to go before you in all of your decision-making. And I don't want to sound goofy on this one, but I believe that you cannot outweigh God. And I know this is a really hard pill to swallow in our 21st century, our drive-through instant world. which God could care less about, mind you. When we pray and we're looking for the decision about the job or about the person or about the place or whatever it is, we've been conditioned to give God about 20 to 30 seconds or minutes to answer. Because that's how I'm treated at the restaurant. It's how I get my drive-through food. And I want my download now and my high-speed internet. Are you with me? My high-speed this. And listen, we text somebody or we tweet somebody or whatever it is, and how come they didn't get back to me? It's been 5 minutes. And then we pray. Can you imagine? When was the last time you actually got alone, got on your knees, and waited to the point where it hurt? You ought to do that. It's painful. It's painful. Try it. You know, I'm into working out. Well, that's great, but try working out in the spirit. It's really hard. Where you just get alone with God and you say, okay, Lord, I need you to speak to me. Oh, it's so hard. It's hard work, but it's rewarding work. He makes it very clear that he'll reveal himself to you if you pursue him with all of your heart. And he says, the Lord that called you, and he refers to the woman that's been forsaken or grieved in spirit in her youth, the love's not been returned to her, crushes her. And so he gives an example. Look at verse 7. For a mere moment, I have forsaken you. Church, why did he forsake them? Because why? They walked out on him. But with great mercies, I will gather you. Somebody needs to hear this tonight. God is saying maybe to somebody tonight, for a mere moment, I forsook you. I let you to yourself. I just walked away from you because you left me. I was trying to keep up with you and you wouldn't have me. And God says, I let you on your own. But listen, I've had my eye on you the whole time. You didn't want me? Okay, I heard your prayer. I got out of your face. I let you alone. But just know this, he says. It's very, very wonderful. It's with great mercies I'm gathering you back to me. Verse 8, with a little wrath, I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness. Notice, weigh the scale. Weigh it on the scale. Little bit of wrath, but a whole lot of loving kindness, everlasting kindness. I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. Church, that's good news. By the way, you know what? This is something. I firmly believe that when you and I are most Christian is when we are the most forgiving against those who have sinned against us. God is so forgiving and so merciful. This is his nature. Now, some of you might want to dig down into the technical side of it, which is true. See, you just expect me to walk around forgiving people. Well, I expect you to have an attitude. I need to nurture an attitude to forgive you. You need to nurture an attitude to forgive me. But God has, and so are we, listen everybody, God has a criteria by which forgiveness is granted. In fact, theologians, put your hat on, listen carefully. Does God hand out blanket, wholesale, Costco, forgiveness? Say it again. No, why not? Oh, come on. So Peggy says repentance. You need to repent. Oh, come on. Isn't he merciful and gracious? Yes, but what is the qualifying requirement? Repentance. Listen, everybody, this is key. Do you want God to forgive you of what you've done? Yes. God says, awesome. I want to forgive you too. And I've got abundant forgiveness for you. And this is how you get it. You repent of what you've done. See, there's no forgiveness given by God to the person who does not repent of the sin. For example, if you have a wife or a husband that cheats on you, and they come back, they get caught, and they come back, oh, I'm so sorry, don't throw me out, oh, I love you. Right? You have no idea if that woman or that man's going to be faithful to you from that moment on. You have no clue. High probability they're not. Until what happens? until there's contrition, there's a broken heart. The heart's got to be broken. Oh, sweetie, you know I shouldn't have done it, but you know, I've only done it twice before. Listen, you'll never know until there's repentance. You say, well, how am I going to know? I'll tell you this. I don't know how this happens, but you're going to know when it happens. When there's true repentance within the heart of the sinner toward the person that has offended, listen, you'll know it. And I'm going to, listen, this is going to be free. Write this down. Don't miss this. There will never be the person that's busted of a sin and confesses their sin and asks for your forgiveness in repentance will never, say it to me, will never, what? Will never justify themselves regarding their sin. If someone says, please forgive me, and and then it begins to what you think heal up, and they say something like, you know, I'm so glad you forgive me, you know, maybe we can learn something from this. If you wouldn't have not repented, or if they get caught red-handed in the ordeal, you will have no idea if they've repented for a while. Why? Because unfortunately, they got caught with their hand in the deal. Are you with me? In other words, if you wouldn't have caught them, they would have been continuing on. Repentance is the healing requirement for any and every relationship preeminently between the sinner and God. The sinner must repent, and then all of the blessings of God comes because he knows the heart. But when we justify ourselves, we're not repenting. I got caught because I'm sorry, but he. I'm sorry if she. It's not happening. And the heartache will continue. God says none of that. You come, you'll be forgiven. Repent, I'll wash you clean. In fact, listen, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Isaiah 1, 18 and 19 says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And watch, here's the qualifier. Verse 19, if you are willing and obedient, then you shall eat the good of the land. Notice, he doesn't even use the word repentance because those two statements imply repentance. If you're willing and obedient, are you with me? Daniel chapter 9, verse 9. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Go to his nature, go to him. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from you or from us. God is willing and desiring to forgive. Numbers 14, 19. Pardon the iniquity of this people. Moses is praying this. I pray according to the greatness of your mercy. Just as you have forsaken this people from Egypt until now, then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. Moses interceded like Christ intercedes for us, and God pardoned. Luke 17:34. Take heed to yourselves, says Jesus. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. Tell him, in other words, his sin. And if he repents, forgive him. Notice the qualifier. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day. Oh, this is tough, isn't it, people? Here it comes. This is going to burn. And seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. That's a tough one. But what's Jesus telling us? To have and nurture a heart of forgiveness to anyone who repents. But the qualifier is always repentance. Finally, this verse, Ephesians 4:30, begins there. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How come? Why? Even as God in Christ forgave you. Man, this is good relational stuff, right? This is what we need. So the third thing that we see in this is verses 9 to 10, and that's what the future holds for the world, is the appeasement of justice. God is just. Let's see what he does about that. Verse 9, for this is like the waters of Noah to me. Interesting, God says, for this is like the waters of Noah to me. Does that mean that God believes in the flood of Noah? Yes, not only does he, but Jesus backed it up. Wow. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be angry with you nor rebuke you. Verse 10, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. Is that beautiful? We also see that there's hope for all the nations of the world when Christ returns. Wow, we need hope today in our world. Verse 11, O you afflicted ones, this is no doubt Israel he's speaking to, tossed with tempest and not comforted. Behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates crystal, and your walls of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Verse 14, in righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. God's going to protect the establishment of his people. We're going to talk a few things in closing about that. The final thing that we see in verses 16 to 17 is that there's peace and safety for God's people in the end. Listen to what he says, and you're going to recognize a very precious verse here in a moment. Verse 16, behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the spoiler to destroy. In other words, God is in control of everything. Let's be honest. Read your Bible carefully. Isn't God even ultimately in control of Satan himself? Right now, we live in a dispensation or an age where Satan's got a very long leash. And he's wreaking havoc in the world. Exactly as the Bible said he would. But everything that he does is still under God's watchful eye. It doesn't mean God approves. It means that there's going to come a day when God is going to not only exercise justice, he's going to eventually bring around the peace and safety that you want to have. Look at verse 17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Recognize that verse? And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Now think about that. How is that possible? How can you and I condemn someone who accuses us of something? There's an answer for that. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. This is what it means. The believer walks with God in this world, and listen, they walk righteous before God. Before God. In his righteousness. And that makes you bold. And that makes you confident, believer, that you're walking with God in your uprightness, the psalmist says. That you're living a life in a way that you know, granted, under the grace of God, yes, none of us are perfect, but you're bold because you're walking with God in the Spirit, and your life is victorious in Jesus. Your life is making a difference. Your life is effective. Your life is shining. And your life is loving. And your life is gracious. But by all means, your life is righteous. And righteousness should be attractive to people. It doesn't mean that you're self-righteous. No, we are exuding and shining the righteousness of Christ. He does that through us. We don't have to do it. You don't wake up tomorrow morning and say, oh man, oh, the pressure's on after last night. I've got to make a decision to really be righteous all day. Good luck. May the luck of the Lord be with you, because that's all you got. It ain't going to happen. You have to have the Spirit of God working in you, and he's willing to do that if you go out tomorrow morning to the world in his righteousness. Stand in it. Watch what he does. You don't need to sweat. God's people never sweat. The priests in Israel were forbidden to sweat. I love that. No minister should sweat doing God's business, and no Christian should sweat following Jesus. He doesn't run. He walks, and he walks us through this life, and he's walking us through this hour right now in the world. Here's the great thing. The very God who was patient with Israel and woos her back to him is the very same God that is patient with you and patient with me, and he wants you back to him. What I highly recommend you do is respond to his affection, respond to his love. Don't put him off. Don't push God away. Don't do that. There's some sick thing within the human that sometimes pushes away the very thing we need the most. It's almost like a self-destructive gene within us. And yet God looks at you and he says, I love you and I want to forgive you and I want to bless you and I want you to walk with me and I want your life to prosper and be blessed. Listen to him. Trust him. And we're watching things on a global scale right now. I'll end with this. Put your faith in Jesus because Israel is surrounded by its enemies and the enemy of Ezekiel is in the neighborhood, Russia. The world is struggling to find itself. Global economies are weirding out. Borders are no longer being obeyed. There's a sense of lawlessness. There's earthquakes going on in the world, and my own Hawaii is starting to get larger by lava flow. Volcanoes are erupting. Racism is increasing. Violence, the Bible says in the last days, good would be evil and evil would be good in the minds of people. All these things snowballing. Israel's the centerpiece of the world news, and Persia, it's on the stage again, Iran. Everything's happening at the exact same time, ladies and gentlemen. This is an amazing moment. Know Jesus and know him well, because he wants to know you on a personal level. Put your faith in him. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your care, for your love for us. We thank you for the cross where my sin, Jack's sins, were paid for by Jesus there. He suffered there, that by us coming to him in repentance, that we have sinned against him, that we can have forgiveness and a new life. We can become clean again. We can become virgins again. We can become sane again. We can become free again. We can become new people because of your sacrifice on the cross. And you've done it to us. I thank you, Lord, that you did it to me now 42 years ago. Thank you, Lord. So may we trust you always. And we thank you that you've risen from the dead to make us that gigantic promise that what you have done can be our benefit. And we thank you, Lord, that the future is awesome for all those who trust in Christ. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called What the Future Holds for the World. Thanks for joining us today, and what joy the future holds for those who put their hope in God, the author and finisher of our faith. What the Future Holds for the World is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, a lot of folks have asked about all the places where Pastor Jack can be found on social media. Well, you can find him on Facebook, including his Facebook Live show called Happening Now. It's a live event that covers biblical prophecy as it pertains to current events. It often airs live once a month, or you can catch previous episodes on his website. Pastor Jack's also on YouTube, Instagram, as well as his Real Talk podcasts, Real Life TV, which, by the way, is a weekly video broadcast, and of course, right here on Real Radio. Pastor Jack likes to use social media to create a forum where our Christian beliefs have a voice and where your participation is encouraged. So for more information about Pastor Jack on social media, simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or check out the Real Life app. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.